From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle, and here's your host, Peter Sagal.
Thanks, Carl. Peter Sagal here in the studio this week, engaging in nostalgia. Don't laugh, you'll be old too someday. We've been asking our panelists what they're most thankful for. Amy Dickinson's answer wasn't surprising at all. Well, not if you've ever seen her on a dance floor.
Well, I'll always be most grateful for twerking, of course.
Well, who isn't?
Exactly.
The gift that never stops giving. We actually discussed twerking when that term became a national phenomenon after the it was the MTV Awards, and we discussed it while on stage at Tanglewood in Massachusetts in August. All right, here is your last quote.
Oh, Lord, have mercy. I was not expecting her to be putting her butt that close to my son.
That was the mother of singer Robin Thicke. She was talking about her son's duet on MTV's Video Music Awards this week. With whom?
Who's she talking about? Miley Cyrus?
Miley Cyrus, yes, very good, yes. For those of you who missed cable news this week, Miley Cyrus was the once innocent Disney child star who came out at the VMAs and twerked. This became the go-to stupid story of the summer. Imagine shark attacks, except the sharks attack people with their genitals. So Miley Cyrus twerked, the nation wept. Twerking, for all you public radio listeners, is a kind of suggestive dance that's big in the clubs now, but it's the same sort of thing we've had for years. It's what our parents would have called a grand mal seizure. What's going on here is Miley Cyrus, she's now 20, she wants to show the audience that she's grown up. Since when is dancing around in your underwear grown up?
Mm-hmm. And the thing with the tongue, I mean, she
and
looked...
And the teddy bear.
She looked like bizarre. A bear who got honey on her face. You know, She's trying to get it all.
Was that...
If Miley Cyrus really wants to convince America she's grown up, she should come out on stage, settle down for an evening watching Downton Abbey until she falls asleep on the couch. That's what...
That's grown up.
That's what we grown ups do.
I agree.
Have you ever twerked, Amy?
I'm doing it right now.
Yes.
Of course.
If only our radio audience could see this.
If she gets hurt, she's covered by twerkman's compensation.
The next one comes from the staff here at Wait, Wait. Not only are we all superhero geeks, but the discussion you're about to hear ends in a note of quiet self-reflection.
Tom, Man of Steel is the new Superman movie coming out soon. It hasn't been released. Fans are already up in arms. They claim that the director of the movie, Zack Snyder, has left out something essential. What?
The last Superman movie, there was a complaint about his costume.
This is also a complaint about his costume.
A costume. Does it have anything to do with the bulge thing?
You mean supersized?
Thank you, Bill.
Wait, Seth,
they don't call him average man. No.
No, no, that's illegal in New York.
Never
isn't
mind,
it?
No. You're sort of close, but basically, in this time, apparently, he's left off something from Superman's costume that is traditional to Superman's costume, has been for 80 years now.
Well, it's not the... I saw the trailer, so it's not the S.
It's not the S.
Got that. The belt. He had
not
a belt.
The belt.
The boots. The
not
stupid
the boots.
Boots. That's all there is. What
no,
else he has? Oh, did he have hot pants?
The hot pants.
The hot
underwear.
Pants. Yeah.
Yes.
They left... Oh, did you hear that? Oh, they left off...
Wait.
I mean, that's sort of an adult diaper thing.
Yeah, the thing that Superman, ever since he appeared...
So was he just wearing tights?
Well, yeah, ever since Superman appeared in Action Comics back in the 30s, he's always had these red sort of boxer briefs on over his tights. It's part of his look, right? But when pictures of the new Superman without the red briefs were released last year, many fans thought it was just because he flies so fast in the movie that he kind of left them behind.
Yeah, like diving in a pool. That
faster!
Happens, yeah.
Faster than his own undergarment, you know. But then they realized it was intentional, and millions of people who surfed the internet in their underwear took to message boards to decry Superman's lack thereof. So the issue gained so much traction that the filmmakers released a 13-minute behind-the-scenes video to address the controversy. In it, director Snyder explains, "I probably looked at hundreds of versions of the costume with underwear. I couldn't make it consistent with the world we were creating. So for the record, the new Superman movie takes place in a world without underwear." That's why everybody looks somewhat itchy all the time.
So is he just wearing sort of a like a unisuit?
Yeah, he's kind of wearing a spandex armory kind of unitard with boots and the cape and the big S is what he's got.
Mm-hmm.
And he does look better without the underwear, but he is going to have a hard time if he ever wants to return that suit. They do look kind of ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, it is, and they're distracting, because you're like, there's a guy, and he has an immense strength and can fly faster than a speeding bullet and save the Earth, and his laser eyes and X-ray vision. Yep. And whenever you see him, you're like, why are you wearing your underwear on the outside, dude?
Right.
Because I don't have any of those powers, and I know to wear them under the pants.
But oh, wait, but he's not wearing... Wait, this is... He's not wearing pants. He's wearing skin-tight tights.
Yeah, and Lululemon, perhaps.
And... Well, no wonder he's got the under pants thing on, because we all know what happens if you bend over in Lululemon.
That's true.
You know what I love about this conversation?
What, Roxanne?
We're talking as if this is a rational conversation.
Isn't that the premise of this entire show?
Yeah. At this point...
Besides, what do you talk about at your house? Shostakovich?
At this point, the only thing we're trying to do is give a good time to the guys listening in at the NSA. Hey, guys!
Sometimes I despair the world will never see another man like him.
We'll end this hour with one more of my favorite guests. I have loved director Barry Sonnenfeld since he was doing the cinematography for the early Coen Brothers movies, but it wasn't until he was on our show in April of 2012 that I realized how much we had in common. Namely, we both had very neurotic mothers.
I grew up in Washington Heights. I was an only child of Jewish persuasion.
Really? Now, in the cultural stereotype with which I am familiar, that would mean that your parents doted on you somewhat. Was that true?
Well, let's just say we recently passed Earth Day, and on April 22nd, 1969, at 2:20 in the morning during an Earth Day concert, while Jimi Hendrix was warming up, the following announcement came over the speakers at Madison Square Garden. Barry Sonnenfeld, call your mother.
No!
You are kidding me.
No, I'm not.
Oh, whoa.
And did you, in fact, call your mother?
Well, I was supposed to be at home at 2. It was 2:20. So, and by the way, the perseverance of my mother to actually find someone at the garden and convince them this was an emergency was so amazing that by the time I got to the payphone, this is pre-cell phones, I assumed someone had died. So I called my mother uncontrollably in tears and said, "Who died?" And her response was, "I assumed you did. Why aren't you at home?"
Wow.
And how many years of therapy have you had, sir?
You know, not enough, as it turns out.
Apparently. Well, we have benefited from that, I guess.
Yeah.
So you're a Jewish kid. You grew up in New York with a Jewish mother. Whenever I've seen a photo of you, you're always wearing cowboy boots and a cowboy hat.
Yes. You see, the truth is I embrace all things cowboy. It's my way of trying to be manly. I often wear fake cowboy mustaches.
Really?
You know, when you're on the set and it gets really boring, you say to the hair and makeup people, "Hey, you got any interesting mustaches today?"
Have you ever actually spent time with or around actual cowboys doing cowboy things, riding and roping and stuff like that?
I forgot to mention that I direct while sitting on a saddle.
Wait a minute. What?
I'm on a saddle that sits on what's called an apple box that has wheels. And recently, the grips had to add additional wheels because the saddle kept throwing me.
Oh. Wait a minute. It's like, cut, everybody. The director's chair just threw him to the ground.
Yes.
I had always understood that a movie director needs to be a dictator, needs to exude absolute authority. to get everybody to get together and move in the same direction, all these egos, actors and technicians and artists. Does the saddle help with that?
Well,
and the
you know,
cowboy hat?
One of the things that I learned from my mother, I call strength through weakness.
Okay.
And I find that if you look like you're in need, because, you know, the saddle is throwing you and stuff, others will really come and sort of take up the slack.
So instead of, like, striking fear into their hearts or demanding their loyalty with your authority, you're sort of relying on their pity. They're like, oh, let's not misbehave. Barry might crack.
Oh, God, yes. And it's worked for me quite well.
Barry, didn't you direct Wild Wild West?
Yes, and that was very difficult because of the actual horses involved in that movie.
I know.
Yes, Wild Wild West, this was the reboot of the famous TV series that had it had Will Smith and Kevin Kline. And it was an actual Western. There you were. Horses. Did you actually get to ride a horse around?
I personally avoided the horses. You don't want to go anywhere near a horse. They're kind of really scary to me.
Wait a minute. So you dress like a cowboy. You sit on a saddle when you're directing your movies, but you are scared of horses. You're saying that you approach these topics, these Westerns, these big movies, out of a sense of fear and anxiety?
It's funny you say that because my motto in life is live in fear.
Well, how does that work out?
It's great because you're never disappointed.
I wanted to ask you about Men in Black 3. It's coming out next month. And it's weird because a lot of guys, particularly in Hollywood, end up making sequels to their films these days, I mean. But this is 15 years after the first one came out. Is it weird to go back to the same characters and the story and the same look so many years after you did it the first time?
You know, it's been great because Will Smith is the same sort of overly energetic guy. I describe him as if he's an eight-month-old Great Dane puppy. You know, on various shows, he's harmed me. On Wild Wild West, he broke my fifth metacarpal in five places.
How did he do that?
I hit his shoulder.
Why did you hit his shoulder?
Peter, you can't believe how boring making movies can be.
All
and
right.
So Will and I got into a habit of trading punches. And he would hit me as hard as he could, and I would collapse in pain in my shoulder. And then I would hit him as hard as I could, and he would laugh uncontrollably. And one day I decided, I want to hurt Will Smith.
Well, who hasn't thought that? But go on.
Well, I punched him so hard, and his shoulder is like hitting, you know, like a brick wall. So I collapsed in pain, had to go to the hospital. Couldn't say why this happened because, you know, we're responsible adults here.
Couldn't you just say that you fell off your fake horsey?
Well, you know, I could have. Instead, I said I walked into a door.
With your fist?
Well, you know, with my fist. It can happen. And when the doctor rolled up my sleeve to take my blood pressure, he saw that my shoulder was covered in red, orange, purple, green, and yellow welts from Will hitting me. And he said, "What's that?" And I said, "I have no idea." So basically, I was a battered wife.
No, I understand. So what I love is that you said this, you introduced this story by saying that Will Smith broke your hand, and it turns out he broke your hand by standing there while you attempted to hit him.
Listen, he also tore my rotator cuff, and I recently had to have surgery because he tackled me and shoved his chin into my shoulder. And when I sent him the post-op photo of me with tubes, you know, coming out of my nose and stuff, he emailed me back saying, and I quote, "That's hilarious."
So I guess we understand why it took 10 years between the Men in Black movies. You had to recover from your injuries.
Exactly.
It sounds like the only solace you have is your fake horse.
You know, the fake horse has been, it's just fantastic. In fact, the last couple of days of shooting, the prop people they actually put a tail on this on the horse, which is pretty great. No, I swear to you, it's something that you're making fun of, but you would be jealous and wish you had one.
I am. As soon as this show is over, I am demanding of my producers that I get a little saddle on some crates. And I want to wear boots and chaps and have a hat.
I will send you photos.
I believe it. Well, Barry Sonnenfeld, what a pleasure to talk to you. We've invited you here to play a game we're calling
Men in White.
Your heroes wear black, your Men in Black movies, but cricketers, that would be those who play cricket, they wear white.
Yep.
We don't know why they wear white. We don't know anything about cricket. But the question is, do you, sir, answer three questions correctly about the game that probably has a charming old nickname, and you'll win our prize for one of our listeners, Carl's voice in their voicemail. Carl, who is director Barry Sonnenfeld playing for?
Barry is playing for Tim Sheehan of Sandwich, Massachusetts.
Ready to play?
Yep.
All right. Here's your first question. Which of these is a real rule of cricket? A, any player can appeal an umpire's ruling by shouting, "How's that?" B, your team is docked one run if you are seen to step on or otherwise harass an insect on the field. Or C, I don't know what this means, but quote, the wicket crease cannot be popped during an innings.
I like anything involving yelling.
So you're going to go with how's that?
I'm going with how's that.
You're right, how's that? That's the rule.
Oh, jeez.
Rule in cricket is you can appeal the umpire's ruling, and they shout, how's that? Or it's become informal, they go, how? And the umpire says, out. All right, next, you're doing very well. Which of these, this is the next question, which of these is legal under the rules of cricket? A, insulting the other players during play. B, the pitcher or bowler can spit on the ball all he wants. Or C, if he wants to, the batsman can just pick up the ball and throw it.
Well, I don't think it would be spitting because that seems uncivilized. I'm going to go with picking up the ball and throwing it.
If you get frustrated trying to hit it, you can just pick it up, throw it as far as you can.
I'm going to go that way.
Actually, it's spitting. Believe it or not, spitballs are legal in cricket. You can spit on the ball, and you can polish the ball to try to make it spin. However, one Pakistani bowler in a big cricket match went too far and caused a scandal a while ago when he was caught doing what? Was it A, subbing in a magic eight ball for the cricket ball, B, attaching a string to the ball so he could pull it back, or C, biting the ball like an apple?
Well, I'm going biting.
And you're right, sir. That's right. The rules are you can spit on the ball, but you can't deface it, cut it, or put on a foreign substance. Biting was going too far. He was banned for two games. Carl, how
now, I have to admit that I once had a landlord who was a famous Jewish cricket player from South Africa.
So you know a little bit about cricket?
Nothing. I just had a landlord who was a
wherever he is now, he's very proud of you. Carl, how did Barry Sonnenfeld do in our quiz?
Well, Barry, you had two correct answers, so that's enough to win for Tim Sheehan of Sandwich, Massachusetts. Congratulations.
Well done. Barry Sonnenfeld, thank you so much for being with us.
Pleasure.
Bye-bye.